And one of the shorts here at Sundance is called Saturday. We've got two of the producer, director, writers here. Jessica, Mike, thank you guys for coming by here. Give us an idea of the story behind this and what made you decide, let's do a short on Saturday, which, by the way, Saturday is the Hillsborough disaster, 1989, April the 15th, and you're a native of Liverpool.
That's right. I'm born and bred in Liverpool. So for those who don't know, Hillsborough is the biggest sporting disaster in British history, where 96 men, women, and children lost their lives going to a football match. The reason why it connects with me is because back home in Liverpool, when Hillsborough happened, we referred to it as like our John F. Kennedy moment. You know, everyone remembers where they were because everyone knew someone who was there at the game, whether it was a brother, a mother, a friend. You know, everyone was connected in some way to this disaster. Me personally, I was 8 years old when it happened. And I've been playing football with my friends in the local park. I came home and one of my cousins was really upset, being consoled by my dad. And he was in pieces, like uncontrollable tears. And I was really shocked because men from Northern England don't cry. They don't show emotions. And this is the first time I'd ever seen a man cry. And this kind of image shocked me and kind of stuck with me. And I later found out that my cousin had a ticket to go to the match at Hillsborough. He gave it to one of his friends, and his friend was one of the 96 who never came home.
So what is the legacy of this disaster like 25 years on? I know that there's been inquiries and committees to look at all the sort of extenuating circumstances that contributed to it. It got some play here in the United States with the 30 for 30 on ESPN. Do people still talk about this? Like you said, it's kind of that JFK type moment. I remember where I was when this happened type moment. How much of a part of the local consciousness and the current consciousness of sports fans in Liverpool is it still?
Well, even outside of Liverpool, actually, it's still a major subject because in 2013, the family succeeded in getting the accidental death verdicts that the original coronary inquest produced. They said it was an accidental death, claimed that none of the deaths could have been prevented, and that got overturned in 2013. So at the point when Mike brought me the script, I was probably more conscious of the story than I had been at the time that it had happened in some ways, because it's so very contemporary in the news right now. They reopened a new inquest in April 2014, and that's still ongoing. So that's still in the news every day. Like if you, different bits of information come out all the time. Just before Christmas, it was on main news in London, not just in Liverpool, because Kenny Dalglish was giving his evidence from the day.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's massive.
Basically, when it happened, the authorities who were in charge of public safety on that day immediately blamed the fans. This wasn't correct. This was a lie. But that lie lasted for 24 years. And so to answer your question, it's one of the biggest things that's affected Liverpool as a modern-day city. We've had to live with this stigma, if you like, of hooliganism, fans who killed each other going to a football match, when in fact it was a lie. And we've only just actually revealed this truth literally 2 years ago, which is shocking.
The thing that struck me, and I haven't seen your short, and now I want to see this, but when I watched the documentary, was this only happened 25 years ago. And this didn't happen in a third world country in Central America or in Asia somewhere. This happened in England, in Liverpool, in arguably to make a comparison, it would be the equivalent of happening in an NFL stadium in the United States. But that's the part that gripped me and shocked me is how, I guess, when looking at the stadium, how antiquated it was and how old it was.
Yeah.
And this was 1989.
Yeah.
It seemed as if it was a 1940s or 50s type facility, but nothing was ever done about it. I know that measures have been taken now, but it just struck me at how could something like this happen in 1989 in an EPL stadium?
Basically, English football fans had a reputation in the 70s and early 80s of being violent at matches.
Hooligans.
And so basically, the police who were there to control them, and it was literally just about controlling them. So at that stadium, they basically herded the fans into enclosed pens, which are basically 8 foot, 9 foot metal fence, stopping them from getting onto the pitch, in theory to charge at other fans if something went wrong. And this was the mentality. So unfortunately, when they weren't properly, when the fans who were arriving at the stadium weren't properly organized into where they were meant to be seated, all the fans came in one way, and the fans at the front had nowhere else to go. And that resulted in a completely avoidable disaster, which scandalously was blamed on the Liverpool fans.
Has there been a legacy of reform in stadium safety because of this incident?
Yeah, this is Hillsborough's the defining moment in the English Premier League. After that, it was ruled that every single stadium had to be all-seater. And with it becoming all-seater, it means there had to be a way to pay for these seats. So ticket prices started going up. So sure. In a way, the common man wasn't able to go to the match anymore. But at least this way, there'll never be another Hillsborough.
Well, there's no more pens. I mean, that's basically what this was. They were ushered into pens, and the most just striking and shocking and heartbreaking scenes were the people being pressed against the pen gates, and people that had gotten out on the other side could do nothing about it, and they were watching their friends and countrymen and family have the life drained out of them because they were being pressed against those metal pens.
And this is the thing, the people who survived, who arrived late and were at the back, have had to live with that for the last 25 years. The fact that, you know, they were part of this thing that was causing them what was happening at the front, and that's, you know, it was nothing to do with them. It wasn't their fault. They weren't organized. They were told to go this way, and they had no idea what was happening at the front.
You mentioned that the sort of cultural norm is for especially men in Northern England to kind of be mum about the emotional toll that something like this takes.
Yeah.
Has that changed at all because of the fact that the whole nation kind of embraces this as a tragedy and sort of mourn together and made it maybe more okay for people to talk about the impact of that survivor's guilt or the emotional toll that watching your friends and family pass away would take on someone? Has that changed at all, like the ability to discuss these things in England?
Well, I would say only recently, because initially, not only did they have survivor's guilt, but they were then blamed.
Sure.
And so that kind of stigma stuck with them. Not only did I survive, but I got told I killed these people. My friends, my brother, my relative, my family. So it's only literally in the last 2 years that people feel vindicated, and which is, again, it's disgraceful.
Certainly from my experience, going to Liverpool to make this film, we had an awful lot of people coming up to us to find out what we were doing, why we were doing it, and just the process of talking about the subject matter. We'd get people sort of purging themselves almost of their feelings about their friends, their loved ones, people they knew from school. Everybody had a story about where they were at that time, and this is, we were making the film very nearly 25 years later, and it felt as raw as, maybe not quite as raw as exactly when it happened, but it's still so raw 25 years later. It was extraordinary to be somebody coming in from London and seeing that.
Give us the premise of the film, because there's a million different directions you could take with a story like this. So for people that are coming up to the, is it tonight at the Egyptian, you guys premiere? But for anybody that will see this during Sundance or after, it's a short, so this could be a 2 hour, 2.5 hour feature, but this is a short. So what's the premise? Where are we attacking this storyline from?
Okay, so Hillsborough is defined by the fact that 96 people went to a football match and never came home. But there were 25,000 Liverpool supporters who went to that game. And as this was the time before mobile phones, when the news of this disaster started filtering through, there were 25,000 families in Liverpool and across the UK who all thought that their loved ones are caught up in this disaster. And so the idea was about combining my initial memory of seeing, coming home and finding, your mum and your dad completely distraught, coupled with, the idea of waiting for this phone call, as in the little boy, 8 years old, his older brother's gone to the match. And so we see how the Hillsborough Stadium disaster affected my family back home in Liverpool.
I literally am intrigued beyond belief by this because of everything that I know about this story. I can't wait to see it. Have there been many stories made about this in England? I mean, we mentioned that you go there and people still 25 years later feel like they're purging themselves.
Yeah.
Have there been many films, documentaries over the years?
I don't think many, not at all. There was a very important mini-series done on, was it Channel 4? Granada made it.
ITV.
By Jimmy McGovern, who's very, very well-regarded director in the UK. So he made like the classic miniseries, if you like, but that was right in the, it was the period where they had not got any justice whatsoever, and there was definitely a sense of there was no conclusion to this story at the point. Watching that film, there was no conclusion at that stage to what was going to happen to these people.
At that point, basically, the fans had been blamed, and there was no repercussions. And so his film in 96 was about raising awareness and saying, hey, this is actually what happened, this is the truth. We need to reinvestigate this inquest because the people who were meant to look after these fans have got away with it. And the blame is being shifted onto these ordinary people who went to watch a game of sport and didn't come home.
Has this been shown in Liverpool yet?
Yeah, that's it. Our film?
Yes, yeah, your film.
No, well, this is the thing. So there is the disaster and then a trial. And then for the last 25 years, the families of the 96 victims have been campaigning to have that original trial squashed, because at the end of that trial, they said no one was to blame. It was accidental death. That's recently been debunked.
Right.
So they're now having a new inquest where hopefully there'll be a more truthful examination of the whole facts, because basically there was a cover-up instigated by the police. And because of that new inquest, there's a blanket ban imposed by the coroner on all Hillsborough-related material in case it influences the jury.
The ESPN doc hasn't been shown in the UK
either. Yeah.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. You can sort of, I think the only way to get it is from the filmmakers. You can't show it publicly in the UK yet.
Well, I have to imagine that people have seen it, though. The ESPN doc, whether it's been pirated or on the internet or something. I was curious how this was received either by victims' families or by those in Liverpool. Obviously, you are from Liverpool and you've made this. So I'd be very curious once it is shown, whenever that may be, how this will be received.
Very well.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's amazing.
This is fantastic. Best of luck here. Congratulations tonight. This is a big night for you.
Huge.
if you can't tell.
And listen, I'm not the biggest EPL fan in the world, not the biggest soccer fan in the world. I'm very intrigued. I can't wait to see the film. So thanks for sharing with us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
If you're coming up to Sundance, it's called Saturday. And we appreciate both Jessica and Mike swinging by here to see us. Good luck tonight, guys.
Cheers, thanks. Mike.